Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I never, ever take it for granted that you listen, that you tune in, that you support, that you leave that feedback on the Apple Podcast platform, that you send me email messages through successfuldiligence.com/contact. And most of all, I love getting those voicemail messages from you all, my listeners, the best audience out there. When you click the link in the show notes and send me a voice message, I answer every email, every message, every DM on Instagram and Facebook personally, and it is so fun getting to know you and hearing your feedback. So keep it coming because it is just so encouraging and motivating for me to continue to bring you value-added conversations, value-added people, incredible stories, and today's episode is no different. I have a very special guest. I think this is the first time that I've actually interviewed two people at once, although they're really one because they're married, but that's a whole other podcast episode. Today I have with me Javi and Jessica Madrigal, and they are a husband and wife coaching team, and they help people find optimal health and a purpose-filled life when they find themselves against their greatest health battles. God put a calling on Javi and Jessica to tell their story, to spread hope, and to empower people who are affected by heart disease to overcome and never give up. Now, as a result, over the last couple of years, they have developed resources, a free community, programs, and have been helping people discover how to overcome their health challenges. And they've even started a podcast recently, which we will hear all about. In 2020, they founded Underdog Ninja Foundation. I love that name. Underdog Ninja Foundation for Heart Disease. And this was born out of Javi battling and overcoming heart disease for 18 years, you guys. That's a long time. Now, their personal story and experiences have led them to follow the calling of empowering, educating, and supporting those who fight heart disease through this organization. And in addition to the nonprofit, they run an online group coaching program for people who need to overcome various major health battles to get their nutrition, their fitness, and their life in balance to achieve their goals and total holistic health, which is what it's all about. Jessica and Javi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
How are you doing?
Super excited for my audience to get to know you, to hear your story. You guys are incredible. I mean, individually, you're incredible, but together, what a powerhouse of a team. So for my audience who is getting to know you, tell us a little bit about who you guys are and all the things. Introduce yourself to us.
All the things. Go ahead.
Want me to go?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Awesome. All right. Well, I'm Javi. Obviously, this is my wife, Jessica. We've been married for 10 years. We just celebrated our 10th year anniversary last month.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, we were friends for quite a while before we got married. During that time, that's when I was really started this fight, you know, against heart disease and stuff, but she's been with me, you know, in the thick and the thin, you know, during this fight. And, I think there's so many things. I'm so grateful for my wife. You were saying that I was battling this for 18 years, and most of that time you know, has been the hardest. The last 10 years have been really the hardest. And I don't think I would have been as successful without my wife. I mean, she's been my rock, and she's helped me through so many different things, but during this fight. But yeah, and then we have grown adult children too, but we have two twin daughters that that are 10 years old, yeah. And they are fighters themselves. And yeah.
You're funny, because I was going to talk about you and you talked about me. So yeah. That's why we're successful, because we talk about each other and right. I don't have to talk
it's
about myself.
It's called balance.
But yeah, so we have the twin 10-year-old daughters. We do have adult children as well. So it's like round two. But yeah, so I'm originally from Oregon and he's from California. So we're West Coasters, but we've lived all over the place. Trying to eventually make our way back to the East Coast. We just love moving around. It's an adventure. It's always an adventure. But yeah, it's absolutely right. And I, you know, that's the thing is I'm kind of in the caregiver spot over here. So I do have my own health challenges, but nothing compared to like my husband's fighting heart disease. One of our daughters, actually both of our daughters have connective tissue disorder, but one of them has it drastically worse than the other. And so she has a lot of challenges. So it's always us overcoming something in our house with health battles and things like that. So that's another just level of, you know, just our daily life.
Right. Wow. You know, let me ask you this, because first of all, I'm married 14 years and we also have moved cross country 4 times in 3 years, lived in Oregon, Eugene, shout out to U of O, and lived in California. And then we're both, my husband and I are from the East Coast as well. So shout out to the East Coast, although we're in Texas now. So that in and of itself is an overcoming battle, which can be a whole podcast episode. Mm-hmm. And Javi, you mentioned that you've been conquering heart disease. Talk to me more, because I don't know that my listeners or myself really understand what that means. There's so many different types of heart diseases and ways that it can manifest. Talk to me a little bit more helicopter view about your specific condition, how it manifested, how you've been conquering, sort of get a little bit more of the detail of that.
Yeah, so I have coronary artery disease, an aggressive, very aggressive form. I've developed it at an early age at my early 30s, but it's genetic in my family. So it hits the males in our family very strong, very early. My father died at age 48. He had his first heart attack at age 30. And his brother 2 years later at the same age, 48, passed away too. Massive heart attacks. And, you know, my dad had already had a history for my uncle. It kind of came all of a sudden. But you know, they lived their lives, not in the healthiest way. Okay. And so I was very aware that this disease runs in my family. Because even my grandmother, my Nana, who took care of me when I was little, she passed away, a massive heart attack too. And so I've always known. So I always tried to take care of myself. You know, my dad, you know, he basically raised me in the gym. He had a gym in the house back in the 70s, you know, how that was, but
he was a trailblazer.
Garage gym. Yeah. But we were always, I was always trying to be active, and I had this in the back of my head. And as I grew up and grew older, I tried to, you know, maintain my fitness and try to be aware, but I really didn't know. I didn't have any models of people that really beat this disease or really were battling this disease. In my family and up until I was diagnosed, people lost this battle. Mm. It was a battle you couldn't win. And when I was diagnosed, I refused to take that type of attitude. Number one, I didn't think it was going to happen to me. Hmm. And it did. And
even with all of that family history, you thought, well, not me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I didn't smoke. I didn't drink like my dad, you know? And you know, at that time in my life, I was an occasional drinker, but, you know, I still took care of myself. And I'm thinking, well, I'll be fine. but that wasn't the case. I got the disease at really the same age as my dad. But you know, thank goodness technology did move advance, and there were things available to me that wasn't available to my father. The doctors always told me I had my own responsibility. I had responsibility for myself. They would put the band-aids on, they'll give me all the piles of medication, but I had my own responsibility to try to stick to a nutrition plan and to stay active.
Let me interrupt you for a minute, because there's two things that are coming up for me. And I want to unpack what I'm about to say after I ask Jessica a question. So you mentioned that the doctors gave you the band-aids, right? But you still had the personal responsibility to manage and fight what was part of you, right? Part of your life. Yes. And so I want to unpack that. So remember that for me, Javi, because sometimes I forget. But Jessica, I want to ask you something, because, you know, Javi mentioned this has been a hereditary, you know, thing. It's in his family. He was aware of it, which means that when you met and married Javi, you were aware of this condition, and you were fully aware that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Fully aware. So a couple of things. By the way, I grew up in Eugene, just so you know, I'm from there.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah. But a couple of things about that. So number one, I had my childhood, without like unpacking my childhood, was, you know, with all of the crazy stuff that happened, one of the things I did go through was my mom, as I grew up, she had massive medical issues just all the time, like my whole entire childhood. And to this day still does. So, you know, it's like just constant. And so I grew up having to just have that always going on in my house. So I was completely used to just constantly conquering and dealing with medical issues, right? So it wasn't like, oh, you have something wrong with you. Like, I didn't have that. That was not how I viewed life or him or anything. But also I had seen him as a warrior. So what's so interesting is that when we met, he, you know, we were dating or whatever, not when we met, we were friends, but like we had talked about his disease. But when we first got together, and we were dating, we talked about his scar. And I remember him being like, oh, I don't want to take my shirt off at the pool. And I don't really, he was kind of like, I don't really want to show anybody that. And I was like, are you joking? That is the coolest scar I've ever seen. And you're a warrior. Like, literally, that's one of the reasons why I love you, because you overcame something so massive. Because
this is your badge. Show
yes. I was like, Iron Man, let's go.
I thought she was so weird.
And he was like, I'm still weird. And that's why we're together. But anyway, he was like, I don't know. But a lot of people feel that way about, especially women, for sure, of course, about their chest scars. But for me, I was like, you overcame something that, by the way, I wasn't there for. This was the bypass surgery was when he was 40, and we weren't together at that point. It was not too long before, but it was, we were not together or anything. So I didn't really, here's the thing about how we are. I didn't get to go through that with him. I actually have to hear stories about how other people like weren't there to support him and stuff. And as his wife now, I'm like, God, I wish I could have gone through that with you. Most people are like, wow, you know, I hope you never have to go through like something like that with someone. But I actually, it's kind of, it frustrates me that I wasn't able to be there for that. So that's kind of how we operate. Like it's a team effort. We're a team. We're a unit. Like you said, we're one. That's how we operate fully. So when we got together, we connected when we started dating, like that connection we have now was always there. Like
it
was
sounds like you were already prepared. And it was fascinating to me. And I tell, so my husband conquered stage 4 cancer, and he had finished his chemotherapy when I met him. So he was, you know, cancer-free or in remission when I met him. So I didn't get to go through that with him, just like your mindset. Now, since then, he's had a couple tumors, and I had the pleasure and the benefit and the blessing of walking with him through that. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting, and I always tell my husband this, is he has a personality very much like my uncle, who I worked for as a teenager, who has a very, they have the same birthday, my uncle and my husband, and they have very similar personalities, which are challenging personalities. And I told my husband, I was prepared by God to marry you by having to work with my husband, right? And so what's coming up for me is you were prepared to marry your husband, Javi, and walk this journey with him from your experience that you had growing up in the great Eugene, Oregon.
That's right. Yeah,
Which I love, because it's such a validating experience to know when it's a fit of purpose, at least for me, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. we've always felt that way about our marriage. I mean, to be honest, we've always been, we did devotional studies together when we were dating long distance. I mean, we've always studied together. Our faith is the cornerstone of our relationship and has been since ever, when we were friends, everything. And so, you know, when we got together, we actually prayed over our relationship when we first started dating, and we were like, okay, this is it. This is what we're going to do. We were long distance, keep in mind. So we were like, well, we're going to need God's blessing on this because we're never going to get together because we're long distance. We didn't know where it was going. We were like, how's this going to work? So we prayed an anointing actually in a parking lot. We always talk about this. In fact, I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly. Have we ever? Nope. This is a,
you
this
heard
is a
it
moment.
First on the Success yeah. Podcast.
We've never told anybody this. Actually, it's so weird. Sorry. Yep. You're right, Michelle. You're a magic like extractor. It's great. But this is something that was the cornerstone of our relationship. Like we prayed an anointing over our relationship. And ever since then, we continue to do that. We have moments in our life where we pray anointings over seasons. And God continues to bless the seasons and bring us through hard times and actually grow us through. Something I asked a question today of somebody. I said, you know, is there anything that you feel like is better since your diagnosis with this disease that you're fighting? And they said, no. And I thought, and I told him, he said, well, you got a long ways to go because there's always something better through growth, through adversity. And this should be the stepping stone to the next level or season of your life where things are better because of your reaction and your response in your life to the adversity.
Well, and your mindset and your perspective is because, I mean, you come with a strong growth mindset, positive reframe mindset, and Javi, you come with a determination of steadfast persistence to overcome and conquer. And I love that because it's such a great fit for what you're doing now. I want to transition a little bit. So Javi, unpack for me this concept of personal responsibility. And then Jessica, I want you to jump in because when we think about a chronic health issue or something chronic in our life that we don't have control over coming into our life, right? It's here, whether it's a mental health issue, a behavioral issue, a physical health issue, a circumstance, a life hard thing that hits you. There's a personal responsibility to take care of yourself, to do whatever. So talk to me, Javi, about what it was like to accept the mantle of personal responsibility for walking this journey out with your chronic health issue. And then Jessica, when he's done, you can just jump in about the personal responsibility of walking the journey alongside and partnering without physically dealing with the same things.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things during this journey I've come to realize, you know, talking to people very early on, you know, because when you go through something like this, you go through rehab, you're around other people fighting this disease. You know, I already had family members telling me that it was over for me, you know, and a very early age. And then I saw and talked to a lot of the other people, and they were either walking around with no hope in their life. They didn't see the point. And yes, there were some more elderly people there, but there were surprisingly people my age and walking around with no hope. Or you had people that were like I said, I talked to different people, either they have that attitude or they're like, hey, I am who I am. I'm going to live my life the way I want. I'll take the medication. I'll do that. But I'm going to live my life any way I want. And they continue that same habits that got them there. And the thing is I see my wife's reaction when something happens to me. I see my kids' reaction. I want to see them grow up. All those things are more important to me than maybe some habit I want to hold on to, maybe whether it's a nutritional habit or some sort of physical habit. So that's my responsibility to my kids and my wife. I have to do everything I can as best as possible. I'll take the medications as the doctors want me to. I'll have it. I'm a very active patient with these doctors. I ask questions. I'm like, okay, I'll take this medication, but when can I get off of it? You know, what do I need to do to get off of it? I've had conversations with people saying, well, you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can.
Well, yeah, because you think once you're on the medication, you're going to be on it for life.
Exactly right. And there are some medications I will be on for life, and that is that. But there are some that I can get off of. And I've successfully done that. I didn't concede to, well, this is how my life's going to be. Let's see what I can do. If there's a possibility for me to do it, then I'll do everything I can to do it. Is it hard? Am I always successful? No, but I'm always pushing towards getting better and always fighting this disease. I often say, look, this fight is, now that I've been diagnosed, ever since day one, since my diagnosis, I've woken up to a battle. Every day is a fight, and I have to wake up to that fight and take it on, because it's very aggressive. It's a very apparent. And as I've gotten older, I've had other events and other things, but what's been a blessing through it all is that there's been a blessing through it all, you know, that I've learned things along the way. I've learned things about myself. I've learned how to be more empathetic about other people that have gone through similar things, and maybe even not even heart disease, just the battle and the fight and understanding how they're feeling and the relationship problems maybe they're having or the struggles they're having with their self-identity. I understand that. But I also understand how to get back up and to not concede and let it define you. I don't let my disease define me.
Well, what I love about what you're saying is that you made a decision to implement your superpower of choice and say, I do not accept what you're saying while I accept what you're saying. And it sounds like you developed and actively curated a warrior mindset to say, okay, I'm watching The Amazing Race. I'm going through all of the different seasons. And it's almost like, okay, the disease diagnosis was an identifier of what country you're going to. And now you take every challenge and you attack it and you work it and you do everything you can and you let God fill in the gaps, you know, where there you can't do what you can't do, right? So you give 100%. That to God, but what you can do, you do, and you fight and then you win that battle, but it's your next clue to the next battle. So wow. That the race is not over yet, right? You're still running.
I've never heard it put that way. That was absolutely spot right. on. You nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly right. I was going to say one of our biggest things that we've discovered is that a lot of people talk about how we don't have enough resources, and it's, you know, Tony Robbins says people are not in lack of resources. They have a lack of resourcefulness. So really it's just literally like, do you want to solve the problem or not? And we're total troubleshooters, problem solvers. He's an engineer and I may as well have been a software engineer. And he always goes, why weren't you a software engineer? Because it's like, we just are constantly troubleshooting things and figuring things out and bugs us. We'll go to sleep at night. Can't figure it out that we got to troubleshoot the problem. This is how we are with life though. I mean, for instance, this is a good example. I'm the one that up until recently has done all the plant-based cooking. So we switched to plant-based eating 3 years ago when it really turned around us fighting this disease, because it changed the game. Like it completely changed the progress of his disease, and it turned it all the way around.
That's fascinating. Wait, we can't just smooth by that.
Well, I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to go back to it.
We'll put a pin in that one, but we got to come back to the
plant-based. No, and I knew you'd say that. I was like, oh, I got to get past this. She's going to stop me. No, but yeah, it's such a big deal. Because 3 years ago, it really changed everything. But when we switched to that, I was like, okay, I am not willing to accept that not willing to accept sentence. It keeps coming out of our mouths. I'm not willing to accept that all my food is going to taste like crap now and that we have to feel like we're always missing out and blah, blah, blah. And we can't have our football season food and we can't eat out and all this. So I'm like, no, I'm like a rebel. I'm like, I'm going to beat the system. So I was like, I'm going to figure out how to have most of the stuff that we love having because I know how to cook. And I was like, well, okay, we can figure this out. So I Googled the FBI or whatever. Like I'm like research mode. And so I went out, I found books. I found, anything I could find on the internet to figure out recipes and how plant-based cooking works. Right. And then heart healthy plant-based cooking is like no oil, no salt, no added sugar, all this stuff. So it's like, oh, this is foreign language to me. Right. So I figured out a way since then. And pretty early on, I was like dropping bombs, like at dinner, I was like, check this out. And he's like, shut up. This is amazing. So that was our journey. Like the first week or two, it was like, oh, okay, this sucks, because our palates were changing. That's what happens when you switch to healthier eating. Your palate changes. Everything finally starts to taste good. You can taste food again because you get desensitized eating all the salt, right? Mm. So the first couple of weeks was like, but after that, our experience was really exciting and adventurous because all we wanted to do was just find another way to make another thing that we liked in like a healthy version. So, I mean, I have chocolate cake that I make that is 1000% healthy. It's like all plant-based, all no sugar, no oil, no dairy, no, it's like, and it tastes like chocolate cake.
You made it into a game that another yes. leg of the race that you had to conquer. And you guys yep. just approached it like, it's a challenge. We're going to do this.
Yeah. She reverse engineers. I've seen her reverse engineer regular recipes, like the cake recipe, and making it all vegetables, but yet it tastes like a chocolate cake. Wow. How is that possible? You know?
And so, cause I was like, I'm not going to not have cake for our birthdays. What's this right. about? So I was
not giving up chocolate. That is not happening.
No, right. I'm sorry. Game over.
And what's great about this is the journey's not over, and we're still, I mean, we're 3 years into plant-based eating and we're still discovering things. Yeah. It's not just salad 24/7. It's more than that. It's really been great. And we're still learning more. We're still trying out new things. And
well, it's a lot easier nowadays to get, plant-based ingredients and gluten-free and grain-free and all the things, yeah. But talk to me about the impact that it has had physically on your body. How did it like make such a tremendous impact?
Well, the thing is people, it's funny because people would want, especially in the heart disease community, and I really don't understand this, but because people are so stuck on their habits and their way of life, don't want to get rid of it. And it's their comfort zone. And I talk a lot about defending your comfort zone, and people defend that with their life. And you have these, sometimes these heated conversations, well, this theory and this theory about plant-based eating, my thing is that the proof is in the pudding. And that was the thing for me. I said, because this all happened after, again, this is a very, my form of disease has been a very aggressive disease, the disease. I had my bypass surgery at age 40, quadruple bypass. And 3 years ago, I had chest pain, was at work, rushed me to the hospital. And the ER doc told me that my grafts that they had, those grafts that they had put in were also starting to have disease in it. It showed signs of disease.
Oh, wow.
That was terrible news for me because it shouldn't happen. I didn't want it to ever happen, but I shouldn't have had, it shouldn't have had to happen so soon, right. But it was happening. And that was my lifeline. I'm like, well, now what,
let me stop you there really quick, because we were in the hospital and now what, we had tried every diet. Mm. He had a quadruple bypass. And at that point, this was stent number 6. And now up till now, he has had 10 stents and he's had a heart attack, which happened later, which we'll explain. But he's having stent number 6. And we're sitting there going, well, we've tried everything. There's every diet out there, every way of eating. We've tried this, we've tried that. And some of it got us healthier. We thought we were healthier, but still he ended up in the hospital again. So even though we lost weight and we felt good, his heart disease progressed. That's the key. He still had heart disease progressing and the blockages happening and all of this. So we're in the hospital going, okay, God.
Right.
What else is there?
And that's really what I asked him, I'm like, what else do I need to do? I'll eat cardboard. What at this point, what is it? What do I need to do? And at that very moment, the ER doctor walks in, a different ER doctor, the attending doctor, and he's looking at the chart, looks at me, looks back at the chart. He goes, well, I was expecting a whole different person than who I'm looking at. Wow. Because he was expecting a person that was really in bad, bad shape. I mean, with the what he saw, the progression of my disease. And, you know, at this point, I'm fit. I'm, you know, fully aware other than this chest pain. And we had a discussion. He just told me his personal story. Make a long story short, he just gave me his personal story about him and his wife and his wife's journey through plant-based eating. And this doctor ended up he wasn't a cardiologist. He ended up going to the cardiac rehab, the cardiac unit, and spent some time with me for the next 3 days. He spent like an hour every day with me, just describing this to me. And I went home and I told her, let's do this, but you know what? I'm going to give this 6 months in my back of my head. I'm like, I'll do it. I mean, they want me to I have to eat a vegan lifestyle. I never thought I'm a meat eater, but I'll try this, you know, cause I asked God and God brought this guy to me. So I'll try it for 6 months. We'll see what my test results happen in 6 months. My test results came back better than they had ever in my life. And most doctors had seen. My cholesterol level, those lipid levels, the things that determine cardiac risk, had dropped tremendously.
To the point where the doctors were like, I don't know what you're doing, but I've never seen numbers this low.
Even
in 6 months of implementing this new diet, yes. There was evidence,
yeah.
Physical scientific evidence that it was working for your body, which is incredible. Yeah. Because I always say this, and listeners, I know you've heard this before, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And sometimes hard things come in life, not to break us and not to drown us. And sometimes not even to plant us as seeds, but to teach us that we have something to learn. And what I love about your story, both of you, is that the tenacity and the perspective to learn, grow, and overcome. Like, it's almost non-negotiable that there's any other option but winning. And I think that makes a difference when we're going through hard times and hard things to thrive. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that your girls also have some health issues. And so I'm sure, and you can talk to me a little bit, Jessica, about this, that there's been some adaptation in the household, even beyond the new plant-based lifestyle, on how to thrive with all of these chronic issues that are sort of all crying for attention. Yeah. How do you do it? How do you manage that?
Well, we are extremely flexible, but I do yoga. No. But the thing is that it's not just about the heart disease. Exactly. We're talking specifically about his results with heart disease and how all of that happened. But what's interesting is that God is really in control, right? Because he got us all involved in the plant-based eating. He got us to, you know, get our kids involved. We had results within 2 months, and then 4 months he had those numbers. And then 6 months it was done. I mean, we were well past, you know, thinking it was 6 months. But what happened is we had everybody on plant-based eating. Everybody was getting healthier and we lost a ton of weight as just even a byproduct without even trying. And we just got super healthy, right? Well, one of our daughters ended up getting diagnosed through a chain of events with connective tissue disorder in 2000. It was 2 years ago. She was eight. I was gonna say
2019.
Yeah. And we had already been plant-based, and turns out because she has connective tissue disorder, which is highly inflamed by inflammation. It's triggered by inflammation and all kinds of things. So plant-based eating was the thing that she should be on anyway, because when you are taking all of the meat and the dairy, with which dairy has a ton of inflammation from casein in it. And then, you know, of course, meat has, even though meat is really well prepared, it still has a ton of sodium and inflammatory properties. And then all of the extra sugar and, you know, the processed foods and the salt and all of that. When you take that away, all of her tissue was just so much less inflamed. And so she's able to actually manage her pain where I see people, of course, once you're diagnosed with something, you're part of that world, that community, like that, like you said, it's the country you come from. So all of a sudden you meet all the other inhabitants, right? You join a Facebook group and you hear about it everywhere. And you're like, oh my gosh. So you meet the whole community of people battling this. And you go to the doctor and they go to the children's therapy unit here. And we meet all the other parents. Most people are miserable with this. Like they're not, unless they've done something to take responsibility for them, for their own part, you know, like the actual habits and way they live their life. It doesn't mean that you cure something. It means that you can live and thrive with it and be able to manage your life alongside all of the symptoms. Why are you, you may as well go, somebody may as well say, you know what, here's a fire and I want you to tend this fire. So are you going to tend the fire and keep it like where it should be and make sure that it keeps you warm and does all the things it should be doing? Or are you just going to throw gasoline on it and like blow wind? You know, it's like, are you going to be completely ridiculous about it and not responsible and not be a good steward with what you've been told to take care of? Or are you going to actually have that be a powerful part of your life? Look, it makes us better coaches. It makes us better friends. I can't tell you. And then the coaching in turn makes me a better mom. Like even just yesterday, I had a conversation with my kids that, you know, 2 years ago would have been a disaster, but I was able to like walk through something with them because of all the hard things I've been through with them, was able to then return, you know, the patience to them because of the adversity that they've had to go through. So it's all working as a machine. So that's how we see this. It's like, everything is a lesson. So that was the other thing I wanted to talk about when you're saying, how do you get through this? Because our mindset, it isn't that it's not okay to lose. Or that it's all like, you're right with the winning is the only option. Like, you know, overcoming this is the only option, but we have to give ourselves grace in that we have days where we feel like we've lost. Like, we're just like, but we have to pick back up. We can't stay there. Right.
A bounce back.
We call it a bounce back rate. It's like, how fast can you come back from these bad days, or maybe an event or a hospital stay or whatever. Like, you've got to get your mindset right back. But it's that idea that you're always looking for how this is going to benefit you. That's the thing. We're always, our daughters are even there now too. One of my daughters says, I know God's going to use this to help people. And through everything I've been through, that one day I'm going to be able to help people who are going through this and help them live their lives this way too. She's 10.
So powerful.
She's 10.
And so powerful.
Yes. And that's what God's telling her. Like, she's just so close with God. Her faith is incredible. And actually this has increased her faith. So we know that's part of what God's taking her through. While it is hard for us to watch, I say all these things, and you know, I'm not talking about how many nights and weeks in a row, where every single night we're up with her, sitting in bed, singing to her, rubbing her head while she sits there and goes, for like, I'm like just squeezing her hand and just holding her. And I have to sing her to sleep with an eye mask on, a fan on her, a humidifier. I'm talking, we got a whole thing set up because she's got to figure out how to go to sleep in her massive chronic pain that there isn't medication for, because no medication actually touches her pain. So it's all holistic. It's all just helping her manage. She's had to just go through it until it goes away. And then the next round comes. So this is her, like, it's incredible. And so imagine if she wasn't eating plant-based, imagine if she was dealing with a lot of inflammation, you're debilitated. So it's a matter of putting your body in the best possible position to thrive with whatever you're dealing with, and know that you're doing everything you can and you give the rest to God. So your analogy with the Amazing Race was great, because that's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And what a gift that you're giving your daughter of training her to implement her superpower of choice, to choose that mindset every situation, every day, every moment sometimes, because I have a chronic condition as well. And sometimes it's moment to moment. And I love that you brought up that you give yourself grace. And let me unpack grace for a minute as we think about what we really want to highlight here, because grace can mean different things to different people. And listeners, you know, I like to unpack the language and, you know, make sure we're all talking about the same thing. And so, you know, if your daughter's having a rough night, and then you wake up and your husband is not feeling the greatest the next day, and you're sort of, you know, recognizing you're not pregnant, and we have all those female hormones going through, you know, where we're craving the chocolate and all the things. When you have those hard days, right? How do you implement grace, and what is grace for you? Like, when you're talking about grace, what are you talking about?
Well, when I'm talking about grace, I mean, give yourself permission to actually just have a day where you're a moment or 5 minutes or a week where you just are having to go through the journey of having this in your life. It doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean God's abandoned you. It doesn't mean it's going to be this way forever. It doesn't mean there's no hope. It doesn't mean that tomorrow won't be better. It doesn't mean there's nothing you can do about it. It just means today I'm going to just accept that this is what it is. I'm going to give myself some self-care. I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to breathe. And I'm going to think, hey, I don't have to overcome the world today. I can just be a person who's dealing with heart disease, or I can be a person who, sometimes we've shut our house down when there's a lot going on like that in the midst of maybe a battle, like the thick of a battle with heart disease or with connective tissue disorder. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like those weeks where we just go, you know what? We're going to have to put the rest of our goals in life on hold because our daughter's experience right now is of paramount importance, and she has to have us 100% there. So we just go, you know what, everybody, we have to have, take a family health day, and we just got to be there. And we just sit and we just like have bonding moments and just really pour into her and each other. With him, we'll just sit and we'll like pray together, or we'll watch movies and just have like whatever it is to just take care of ourselves, our mental health.
And sometimes, you know? Grace,
eat those plant-based snacks.
Yes. Yeah,
exactly. You know, but, and sometimes grace is just allowing ourselves to cry.
Totally.
To break down a moment. And, you know, sometimes, you know, our culture will tell us that's a sign of weakness, and that's not, it really isn't. Sometimes we have to get that out, get those feelings out in front of us and out from within us. And instead of storing that in, a lot of my journey through heart disease was stuffing away that stress, stuffing away the emotion when it was all stirred up. I had to hold it together, because if I didn't hold it together, I felt like, well, I'm weak then, and I'll lose control. And what I found out with my wife, through my wife, is no, that's part of the journey of being stronger. Strength is found through letting a lot of those emotions out and putting them out on the table for you to deal with. And so
I love that. I love
some of that grace is found in that, right?
Yeah. Strength is facing yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's what I'm getting from what you're saying is that it's giving yourself the permission to lean into the pain, to lean into the situation, and to release whatever needs to be released by expressing whatever needs to be expressed, whether yes. that's positive, negative, neutral, whatever. And I love that you take the perspective of prioritizing what is paramount need for today. So today, the priority of need is this. And tomorrow it may look different, but today we're going to do this. And giving yourself permission, which is the grace, to be however you need to be for that day. I absolutely love that, because it is part of thriving through those hard times. Yeah. And it's such an important key. And listeners, you know, rewind if you need to, but that's an important key to opening the door to success in life, to overcoming, to thriving through those hard times, is implementing grace and allowing yourself to lean in, release, so that you can receive that strength in its place. I absolutely love that. So we are coming up on our time. And as I mentioned earlier, listeners, this is my first time with two people. It is a lot more challenging to have the time frame because there's so much we could talk about. So I may invite you all back. We'll have to talk offline about that. But from this conversation and from all that you've shared, what are a couple things that you really want the audience to walk away with remembering?
Me? Number one is stop being so hard on yourself about like you're falling off track. You're not. Look, one of the things that was given to me by God the other day, and so I say it all the time now because it was so huge for me, and I know that it'll be good for you too, is that the goal isn't there, or excuse me, the journey isn't there to make sure the goal happens. The goal is there to make sure the journey happens. So instead of thinking about the way we always think about it, where we think, okay, well, you know, the goal, I make my goal, and then the journey is just there to make sure I reach that goal. Like all the things I got to go through. And that's why we're never present in the moment. We're never like thinking about all the little things we pick up along the way and the actual life experiences and memories we're making and all the skills we learn and all the capabilities we gain, all that. We miss that because we're like the goal. And I'm a goal-driven person. I'm ambitious. So this was always my outlook. And God really dropped a bomb on me the other day. And he was like, look, the goal is only there to make sure the journey happens. Because if we don't make the goal, then we don't push. We don't push through the journey. We don't push through the hard times. We don't push through to win, to get that goal, right? But the goal, once you get there, it's okay, I got there. One of the things that really popped up for me yesterday was that we do puzzles at our house, which for like stress relief and just as a family activity, we always have a puzzle going on our dining room table. And we have a 3,000 piece dining room table puzzle going right now. Like it was like our biggest feat ever. And I looked at him the other day and I said, oh my gosh, this goes along with what God said. There's an epiphany in my head. I said, you don't buy a puzzle to have a finished puzzle. No one does that. You buy a puzzle to do the puzzle. You don't even, you finish it and you put it back in the box.
Like, right. And then you go on to the next one. You know, that's so profound because it reminds me of the Olympics, you know, that are happening at the year that we're recording this. And you hear about the athletes talk about, it's not getting it is getting the gold medal, right? But it's not really about getting the gold medal. It's the journey to the medal. It's the journey to the goal, because it's the person you become on the journey that really matters. Yes. And then once you reach the goal, guess what? You get your next clue for the next goal. So I love that. That is wisdom bomb number one. I love that. Javi, what do you want to highlight for the audience to really walk away from the conversation?
Well, I just like your audience to walk away from whatever adversity that they may find themselves in, that realize that there is always hope. There's always a solution. And it may not be the solution that you think. It may not be perfect. But there's hope in like my wife said, there's hope in the journey, no matter what that journey may look like. And oftentimes we get stuck on how we want it. It has to be this way. And what I've had to learn is that I've had to open my mind up and really be flexible on what really is out there, what kind of resources are out there, what are my abilities today, what can I do today? We're often saying don't look at the overwhelming obstacle, the mountain in front of you. Just look at being 1% better towards that journey to overcome to overcome that obstacle. Don't look at, that thing's way too tall. That's way too treacherous. I'm never going to reach there. It's going to take me years. How am I going to do it? You're already talking yourself out of it. Just focus on today. What's my abilities today? What are my resources today? And look for the hope in today.
Oh, I love that. What can I do today? Look for the hope in today. And it reminds me of what your daughter said that you mentioned about, well, God can use us to help somebody else. So if I look for the hope in today and I give myself the grace to just do what needs to be done today, God can use this to help somebody else. I love that. Oh, you guys are so inspirational. If my listeners are like, these people are amazing. I need to connect with them. I need to reach them. I need to learn more about this nonprofit organization that they're doing. I need to learn about their podcast. Where can they find you? How can they connect with you? How can they contact you?
Well, so many places. It used to be like I'd give one link and now I'm like, oh my gosh, we're everywhere. So our podcast is actually at www.heartofanunderdog.com. And then we have our podcast there, but also on Facebook, it has a video. We do a live show first before we make it into a podcast. So you can catch the live show there at facebook.com/heartofanunderdog. And then we have our Facebook pages. You can also find us on Instagram. I'm coach.jessica.madrigal. He's javi.madrigal in most places. And we also, our Underdog Ninja Foundation website is underdogninja.org. That's specifically for heart disease. Our coaching program, you just need to contact us one of those ways and we can talk about if that's a good fit for you. But we do coach people through their major health issues. And we focus a lot on your mental and emotional and spiritual health through that. So while we do teach you all about plant-based eating, healthy eating for disease prevention and healthy, overcoming that healthily and fitness, what we do really focus on stress management and, how to get the right perspective on things so that you can live a healthy, fulfilling life mentally while we're trying to overcome all these things. So as you can tell, that's a real focus for us. So that's our coaching program. There's not a website for that because I usually want to interview people and talk to them. But there's a lot of places you can find us there. I would say just connect with us on one of our social medias, or you can check out our podcast.
I love that. And all of the links will be in the show notes, listeners. You know how I hook you up every single episode. So click the link, click and go, and fabulous live show on Facebook. I highly recommend. So definitely, definitely check them out. So my last sort of thought before I do my little closing that I do for you is I have to ask, and really quickly, gratitude. Has it played a part in your journey? Do you have a gratitude practice?
Well, absolutely. And I think that's something we tell ourselves and we tell people that tell our clients. We talk about being grateful for every day. Obviously, I've been given second, third, fourth, fifth chances. So yes, I'm extremely grateful. And you know, gratitude is, we try to show gratitude in everyday things, whether it's the small things and maybe picking up the chores around the house or just simply doing a check-in on each other. But no, I mean, one of my kids, I don't want to go long, but the thing is our child has taught us more about being gracious and more how to be grateful for those things and what she's gone through. And she's taught me on how to be more in that way. So it's definitely a part of our lives.
Jessica, do you do a daily gratitude practice? Is it just implemented as a family? Because it sounds like gratitude in action is just sort of the way of your family.
Yeah. So we actually tell people that whatever works best for you. So if it works best to have like a gratitude journal or whatever, like to write it down, I think writing things down is powerful. Definitely what we tell ourselves is really powerful. We don't personally have a gratitude journal. What we actually do in our house is we thank each other a lot. We take care of each other a lot. We always go out of our way to make sure we recognize each other and what we're doing, even because specifically intentionally, because so many things go unseen and unheard in a family and people can get resentful and things like that. So even the little things, like when my kids, and instead of just always berating them for the things they're not doing, right? When they do something outside their chores, even for their chores, even when it's expected, thank you so much. You know, and we thank each other as a husband and wife all the time. Just thank you for loving me the way you do. Just yeah. All those things. We just thank each other because it is something that we'd never take for granted. And we've been through so much in our lives. It's really hard to take things for granted, to be honest.
I love that. Intentional gratitude in action is so powerful and it can really change people's lives. I know it's changed my husband's life because I do what you do, Jessica. You know, thank you for taking the dogs out or thank you for taking the garbage out. And he'll look at me like I'm crazy, like I'm supposed to do that. And I'm like, well, yeah, you're supposed to, but you don't have to. So I'm grateful that you did. And I've noticed over the years how that has softened him and also implemented a perspective of gratitude as well for him. So gratitude in action that you all are very intentional about is so powerful. So I'm definitely grateful that I asked the last question and shared that audience, because I think that if you implement that as well, you will see immediate return for your intentional action, similar to how Javi got those results from going plant-based from his test results. So I am just so grateful that you guys were able to, in your busy schedule, in all the things, come on the show to share these wisdom nuggets, your powerful story, the resources that you have. And I'm just so grateful that my audience got exposed to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having us on. I really, really appreciate
this
that.
I got to tell you, I know that your audience will appreciate this because I'm sure they know already because they know you so well. You were not kidding. This has been a totally different interview than any interviews we've had because you pulled out things that you're right. You said it before. This went places I didn't expect. And I just absolutely love even just pointing out the practice of gratitude, because I want to say this last thing, because there's so many things that you just pulled out of me and I got to share. We all think that we don't have something powerful we're doing. You just pointed out something about us saying thank you to each other. I've never considered that. No one's ever asked me what we do for gratitude. We just talk about having gratitude, but I guess you don't realize that other people aren't doing that. It's like, what little things are you doing? And so we naturally do that in our house. We didn't read it somewhere in a book and implement it. We just do it. So you don't realize that it's something you could be implementing sharing and imparting to other people. So as for your audience, if you're listening, don't forget, there's so many things that you have in your life that you could be sharing with others you think is no big deal. You think your story is no big deal, but it is. It's powerful. You should be sharing it with other people and having God help you impact others' lives. It's powerful.
Absolutely.
Yes. Listeners, you know that that resonates because I'm always saying every single one of us has a gift and a talent that nobody else in this world has. And so often we do take it for granted because we just do it. It comes easy. It's natural. We don't even think about it. And like you said, we don't realize that other people don't do it. And so I love that you highlighted that because listeners, take a moment. Get a quiet moment. It could be 30 seconds when I say moment. It could be 3 hours, whatever it is for you. And really pay attention to what is something that you do that you've taken for granted and that you can assist, equip, encourage, empower someone else with. And it could just be a smile on the subway, a wave while you let someone inch in front of you in traffic. It could be something as small as that that will impact someone's day tremendously more than you could ever know. And so I love that. I just love that. And listeners, as you know, I always say it because I always mean it from the heart. Keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking. Because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, I always encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life.